The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Hi, everybody. Welcome. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. You listen to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. I have a very interesting program for you today. First of all, it's just going to be me. I want to talk to you. I want to kind of discuss my thoughts and give you an opportunity to ask me questions and see if we can put a little sense into things that are not sensible, things that just don't measure up the way they're supposed to measure up. And we're going to slip in and we're going to talk a little bit about all this craziness that's taking place right now, like the CDC saying that it's okay, blessings for children to have the COVID vaccine from 6 months of age all the way up. Yeah, you heard me right. 6 months of age all the way through. There's something desperately wrong with that. And I'm going to tell you why, and I'm going to tell you some of the things that are out there. But more importantly, we need to look at the things that are happening around us, even though things seem to be quiet and there are things that don't seem to be on the forefront anymore, the question becomes, why is that? How come? Why aren't we hearing about things that were out there a little while ago? Now they're not out there anymore. And well, part of it is election season. And, you know, another month from now, we'll see what the playing field looks like. But more importantly, don't be duped by anyone. Remember, I've said years ago that my job is to provoke you. My job is to stir it up so you go and begin to do your own homework. And if you have the want to, give me a call and we'll argue about it or talk about it. And I'll give you some data that you may not have thought about on any subject whatsoever. I'm here at 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. I'd love to hear from you today. Let's discuss a few things, whether it's, you know, FBI raids on, you know, producers. ABC producer just got raided, and, you know, off the front of my head would say, oh, that's not a bad thing, but I think it is. There's all kinds of ugliness that's in the world today, but I want to give you the good stuff so you can do what? You can protect yourself. You can help yourself. You know, so many people are in chronic pain, and that's the, you know, one of the focuses that we see in our practice at the Results Center for Healing and also Core Concepts out in the Broadlands. And when patients come in, we have to find out why are you hurting? What's the situation? What's going on that can't get you out of that? What are you ignoring? What do you put in your body? What are you believing? What are you embracing that is problematic to you? My job for all the years I've been in practice is to answer that question, why? It's not okay just to put a Band-Aid, if you will, metaphorically, on the symptom process. You know, take this pill, call me in 3 years, and we'll see how you do. Not okay. You need to find out what it is, what you can do about it, and then take proactive steps to, you know, move down the line. So we're going to touch on several of those subjects today. And again, I'd like to hear from you and answer your things straight up and give you my opinion on it, and we'll go from there. But let's start out with something that came out just a little while ago, like 2 days ago. It's called October 20th, and there's a doc. He is a cardiologist. He's a Brit. Background is quite significant. His Asim Malhotra, he's a British cardiologist. And if you go into Dr. Joe McCullough's website, he's got an article on it. If you go into several other areas, there's articles, but it's kind of a different positioning and one that he's put himself really at risk trying to let you know that things aren't quite as good as what they seem. But in an interview that was on Fox Network, there was a study that said that 1 in 7,000 boys suffered from myocarditis, okay, an inflammation of the heart muscle after getting the vaccine. Now, these are boys. They're kind of interesting. Young children who, by the way, aren't susceptible to the COVID virus or variants as other people have weakened immune systems. So Dr. Asim Malhotra, he's again a British cardiologist, and he's well published. He's got all kinds of stuff out there to his credit. And when the pandemic was in full swing, he was one of the first guys to line up and actually, to support and get the mRNA gene therapy shot and to push others to get theirs too. So this is not an anti-vaxxer. This is a guy that, said, hey, you know, this is a good thing. Let's get it done. Now, we haven't even gotten into Dr. Robert Malone's position on this. And he was the guy that invented it, who today says, don't go anywhere near it. But now, after, you know, studying available safety and efficacy data, he's calling for the shots to be stopped. And he wants them to be stopped until all the data that's been accumulating is put in a public format. He's speaking, you know, straight up, and he goes rolling back. He says last year in July, his father, who was very fit and active and a guy that exercised on a regular basis and so forth, suffered an unexplained sudden cardiac arrest. That means his heart stopped, right? And after his father's death, the father died, Dr. Asim started seeing evidence that the mRNA shot not only accelerated cardiac disease, but that their efficacy, if you will, is very, in his words, and I'm quoting, actually very, very poor, end quote. In fact, he added and said that it was likely to cause more harm than good in most people. Interesting, right? So if you want to check this out, go to Fox News, Asim Malhotra, October 19th, 2020. So he and other doctors have said there's stuff going on behind the scenes, a smoking gun, if you will. The conclusions are very clear. He said they're unequivocal, they're overwhelming. Evidence that these vaccines need to be stopped. They need to be minimally paused pending a very in-depth look, inquiry about what's taking place. He's especially concerned that the rate of myocarditis, inflammatory reaction to the heart muscle, that's what a myocarditis is, in children and young people after they get an mRNA shot is destructive and can lead to irreversible damage or death in these kids. And we've seen literally way more people having effect. There's the military released some data about a month ago was the last one I saw, but there were several before that as well, and said that the non-combatant deaths in the military since the mandating vaccines within the military have increased in excess of 1,200%. That's huge. That means that you got to stop and say, what's this all about? Why are they still doing this? Who's behind the scenes? What's taking place? The investigation has to be done. It's owed to all of us. You know, you've heard me running my mouth now for a long time and saying this doesn't make any sense to me. Now, particularly since we don't have a pandemic anymore, it's not there. So here's, you know, kind of a couple of things we may touch on as the program goes on. When there's a pandemic, they can roll out all these shots, and the drug companies that are producing them, or the corporations, the biochemical corporations that are producing them, are held harmless. That means no matter what happens to anybody, they can't be held responsible for them. So even if they admit and they say, oh, well, you know, there are side effects, they have no responsibility. It has to stop. They have to take responsibility. You can't shove vaccines into our children, our legacies, our treasure of this, of our nation, and say, well, you know, if they drop dead, or if they can't reproduce, or if they have cancers, or if they have brain damage, or if they have other things that show up, that, you know, we really don't have any responsibility to that. For me, call me silly, I don't get it. I don't see what the deal is on this. But, you know, it's done. The CDC this week said, okay, 15 to 1. They all said that, you know, you can put this in the normal schedule, if you will, for childhood vaccinations. Now, full disclosure, those of you who've been my patients over the years know that my children were not vaccinated. And, you know, we did other things and so forth. And now my children are big people now. I mean, they have their own children, my grandchildren, but they were fine. So back in the day, you know, there were measles parties and we set them out. And, you know, my daughter got ready to go to college and her school that she went to, which was my alma mater, said that, you know, she had to have the measles vaccine because of all the problems that they suspect with children. I said, Aaron, I said, you probably have the antibodies because you've been exposed to it multiple times. So she went in and she took the antibody test and lo and behold, guess what? She had very, very strong level of antibody resistance to that by herd immunity, if you will, using that term. You know, forgive me, but herd immunity. And she never had to have it. Then my son went to military school. And to go to the school that he went to, he had to have a host of vaccinations. He'd never been vaccinated. And I told him, I said, Russell, I said, you're going to have to make this decision on your own. I know this is where you want to go to school, and I know you can't get in otherwise. And so he made the decision, and we did some things to support him. But even with that, he was very sick for 3 days. Raging fevers, chills, shock, diarrhea, those kind of things. And fortunately, you know, we scrambled and we were able to make sure that he was okay. But these things aren't without their consequences. They're not without their side effects. And I want you to understand that. So those who watch, you know, how the CDC kind of manipulates and maneuvers, this thing with kids was very predictable. This mRNA vaccine, you know, that they're pushing now as part of the childhood schedule and starting kids at their 6 months of age. Listen, I want to tell you a story. You know, I've been to China twice over the years, and there was a time when I got there that this young girl was brought into this clinic. We were training. We were learning Eastern and Western medicine, the combination of the two, because they did it pretty well in several of the hospitals. And this young girl, she's 2 years old, was carried in by her nanny. And what had happened is that when she was about 11 and a half months old, after having 26 vaccinations before she was apparently, you know, 9-10 months of age, she ended up getting disoriented, lost her motor control, fell, and also hit her head at one point. Then slowly she began to not be able to thrive and so forth. So it's a story that we'll finish up when we come back after the break, but it's one that you have to understand that there are consequences to some of these things that we do that can put people into a very bad place. Now, fortunately, this young child that I'm going to tell you the rest of the story about was in a clinic in Beijing, northwest section of Beijing, where there's 20 of us doctors that were together studying the applications, and she was able to be pulled out. So I wanted to give you the end of the story before I gave you the entire story. But there are problems for people who don't have that capacity, the ability, the information that was there. We're coming up to that break, and we're going to come back and we're going to talk a little bit more about the CDC putting shots into children. We're here at 888-630-9625. I'd love to hear from you. Talk about anything that happens to be going on with you, any symptoms that you may have noticed. This is Dr. Tom Rozell Live. Don't go away. I'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozell here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. Indeed, I am. Love to talk to you. Call me, 888-630-9625. I'm sorry. 888-630-9625. I don't know where my brain is this morning, but I've been crunching numbers. And anytime I see statistical information come up, I sit there in my computer and I try to find the data and where they came from and what the numbers really portray. You know, the interesting was any kind of statistical information is that you can get it to say virtually anything you want to. It depends on how you plug the numbers in. And that's the problem. And you have to always ask the question, you know, why is this information out there? The next question is, who gained by it? And the final question, which really reveals a whole lot, is who wrote the check to get the information out there? You know, I've been reading and listening. I was talking to Jeff, our engineer at the station, and saying that I've been reading a book that was written by President Trump's son-in-law, Breaking History. And, you know, those of you who know me know that I was a double major in undergraduate school. I had a political economic degree and I had a pre-medical degree. And So I'm very interested in the politics behind medicine and what takes place and why the agendas are the way they are and so forth and so on. So here's the deal, right? The deal is simply this. You know, why is information portrayed in a very specific platform? Who's benefiting by it? And who was the initiator? Who's the guy that wrote the check? So when you start answering those questions, you start seeing a different look. And we're going to get into different things in the second part of the program. But I want to touch a little bit more on the CDC and the childhood immunization schedule that they approved this week, supposedly a vote of 15-0, saying that children from 6 months of age on now can get a jab. Again, going back to the fact that these RNA vaccines have never gone through the normal process of approval. Now we're going to give them to our children, these very gentle, unknowing, unaware, you know, beings that we bring into the world and cause them to perhaps have problems. So this emergency, by the way, that they're saying that these things are being delivered under is really no longer an emergency. It's not happening. I mean, in Europe, it's not an emergency. It's only here. Why here? Why are we having a problem here where it's not being done anyplace else? The emergency needs to end. You know, when you start looking, you know, at the ability to create certain platforms, there are certain situations that are put forward that continue to perpetuate that scenario. The CDC plans to post, you know, this schedule pretty quickly. Matter of fact, if you go on their website, it's already there. Now, here's the deal. According to the directive, it's still individual states that can make their own decisions on whether they want to mandate it in their state or not. So what I'm going to encourage you to do is simply this. Become proactive. Become a little bit of a pain in your legislators and your representative side. Get the right information. Don't do it from an emotional platform. Actually go in and do the homework like I do. Go in and start pulling it apart. See what's really there. See if it makes sense. And then send them that. Send them all kinds of things that they can't deny. But if you don't do that, then we're stuck. We're stuck with this ongoing onslaught of mandation, if you will, to the point that we're going to make ourselves, our children, our future, unable to shift and start. So we talked about, this cardiologist in Britain, and he's saying, hey, listen, I think there's a problem here. You know, my father died because of this. You know, people are getting sick because of this, increasing the range of myocarditis and also pericarditis. Pericarditis is the inflammation of the wrapper around the heart called the pericardium. All these things are well known. And so if they're so well known, why are we acquiescing? Why are we having to have things forced upon us? Are they trying to hurt us? Is there some other agenda? Is there a technocracy, if you will, behind it? I don't know. You know, and then you start looking at the way things should have been treated when this pandemic came out. Now, you're listening to me complain a little bit only because for the last 2.5 years, I've watched our patients come in, some of them in extreme fear, and some of them having gotten sick and they didn't know where from. Some of them were exposed to other people who had, we'll call it the jab lovingly. All of these things bring up questions, and we need to ask the questions. We need to investigate. We need to, you know, not believe everything that's being said to us. It's not okay. You know, and there's an RSV virus now that is, you know, supposedly filling the emergency rooms and the beds in the hospital and pediatric areas. It's a lower lobe pneumonia type of presentation. Is it that bad? Not if you know how to treat it, but why is it so significant? Well, there's a reason for that, and lots has to do with what we're talking about right now. But we're coming up to a break. We're going to get things much more specific. I'd love to talk to you at 888-630-9625. We're going to talk about fixing some of these things, but I'd like to know what questions that you might have. Don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizzo Live. I'll be right back.
Dr. Tom Rozell Live continues now on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozell. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. Indeed, I am. And we're talking about some things that are a little bit controversial. I'm going to try to get away from that in the second part of the program. But, you know, my job, again, is to kind of provoke you to make sure that you're paying attention. But paying attention in a way that you do your own homework and make things, you know, clearer, if you will. And we're always here for you. By the way, if you ever want to talk to me when I'm not on the radio, all you got to do is go to rozellcare.com. That's R-O-S-E-L-L-E-C-A-R-E.com. And send me a note. You'll find it there. Or simply go to drtomrozell.com. And either one of those will get it to me. Ask me what anything that you want to. I'm more than happy to shed lights on things or direct you where you can find out more. And here's the thing. I'll never tell you that you're wrong. I'm always going to give you my opinion. And I'm going to get you to think through the process, if you will. And we have to make sure that we all think, particularly in today's world, don't buy into somebody's talking points simply because the fact that, you know, they say these are the only facts. You have to look at both ends of it. You have to make sure that you understand, you know, the positioning. Is there a real positioning that is different than what they're trying to say? Or, you know, is it really straight up? You can't do that unless you really go in and look at other sites. And I spend my week, you know, kind of looking at all kinds of things. There's a substance, if you will, a product that I've used for years in dealing with people who have cell systems that are depleted, enzymes that aren't working the way they're supposed to anymore, that anytime that we want to repair DNA, we want to look at the different metabolic pathways that they influence and so forth. We want to see if the body's aging too quickly because this will reverse the aging process in many cases. By itself, no, but it's another piece of the puzzle, particularly in the age of COVID when we're seeing long-haul COVID patterns that are taking place and because there's damage to tissue that's taking place. So the question becomes, how do you fix it? How do you fix the damage? Is there a way of fixing it? Well, there's a process of repair that is not harmful, but can be very supportive. And it's three steps. The first step, and one that you actually can do ongoing after a period of time, is the use of something called nicotinamide adenine dinucleotide. And that's called NAD for short. And it's a coenzyme and it acts a central mechanism, if you will, for energy transport and so forth. So a system that's completely depleted, the energy's gone, it's aberrant. NAD will upregulate it, it'll make it stronger. It's also an essential cofactor for things that have enzyme reactions that aren't working the way they're supposed to. And we can get into the little pieces of the puzzle. Yeah, those are the ones that are actually quite impactful. But, you know, unless we sit here and we go through definitions, things like sirtuins and polymerase and so forth, I just want to give you the idea of what this thing can do if it's done properly. And it helps clear out what we call senescent cells. Those are cells that are dead and kind of taking up space and not allow anything to go through, so they're causing an inflammatory reaction. It helps repair, as I said, in the beginning stages, the DNA within the body. Chromatin is another portion of that cellular response that needs to be kind of, you know, lifted up a little bit, and it has a very specific tie-in to immune system function within the body or cellular immune reactions. So we're talking about something that's extremely, extremely important. NAD. So NAD, as we said early on, is nicotinamide adenine dinucleotide. And big name, but, you know, that's what it is. And so we know it by NAD. But what we want to know is that NAD influences human health and aging of cells. So when we have something that's been breaking cells down or destroying them, We have to do something to intervene, because otherwise the body can't work the way it's supposed to. You know, the NAD levels, you know, have to be maintained at an adequate level so they deter the rapid breakdown, degeneration that goes on. And we have to know whether or not we're doing it safely, and is it beneficial? Does it really help? So the short answer to most of those things are, yeah, it's not every, anything in a very, if you will, too much is sometimes not good. Less is better. But there's ways of delivering it. And most tablets of NAD, do they help a little bit? Yeah, they help a little bit and they can be put in. But, you want to do things that are either IV intravenous, or you want to do liposomal forms. And those are the ones that we use when we were dealing with this type of situation. NAD is also an essential cofactor, if you will, for a different portion of NAD, which is dependent. It's an enzyme-dependent piece that helps your body express itself. So NAD was first identified, and the reason I'm going into this, and I'm going to tell you what the next steps are in a moment, it's been identified for its role in helping to regulates your metabolic expression, your energy expression within the body. And, you know, when it's not there or the body doesn't have enough of it, the body begins to kind of go in a downward cycle. It will go into something, it's its own reduction version. I won't get into, you know, redux conversions and so, but it's a step down, if you will. This is very special and very critical for reactions of all living life forms, no matter what they are. And it regulates the activity of breakdown. It's called multiple catabolic pathways. Catabolic, any time you hear the word catabolic or catabolism, that means that things are breaking down. So they want to stop that. They want to slow it down. We don't want it to break down too fast, because one, yeah, we're going to age faster because of that, but also our cells cannot replace themselves in an adequate amount for us to heal. And also the energy transport of something called ATP, adenosine triphosphate, which is the energy pack, or the fuel for the energy pack inside each cell of your body. So if we don't have enough NAD, if it's not transported in the right position, and guess what happens with all this garbage that we've been seeing and we've been exposed to recently? It overwhelms the system and we don't have enough NAD to restore it. So this crazy cofactor, this NAD, is so important, and how it works and how it expresses itself in the body. So when we're looking at a patient that has residuals that they just can't get over, if you will, this tells a story. So we go from here, then we're going to go into the next steps. And there's a substance as well that we call Lucitol that we're using in the clinic. And Lucitol came about, as far as this next step application, was developed actually by a very good friend of mine down in Sarasota, Florida. It is neuroprotective in the system, and it increases your levels of melatonin naturally without having to use melatonin. But Lucitol itself, these supplements in a liposomal form, gives the body the ability, if you will, I'm going to use the term lightly, to clean house, to clear things out, to prepare the substrate, if you will, for the next step, which is the regeneration of your own expression of your cells, stem cells, the ones that can be put into many different levels. It decreases inflammatory reactions. It supports the nervous system. It decreases pain patterns. It's quite effective. And, you know, but you can't get hurt by just using it, but you want to make sure that you use it at the levels that are adequate, that are important, and, you know, begin to turn that system back into a normal expressing repair pattern that it should. And then we get into the next piece, and it's called something called mTOR. mTOR is also referred to as the mechanistic target of rapamycin, and it's called that simply because of the fact that it expresses then the ability of a family of proteins to begin to repair new cells within the body and to be able to put you back to normal, if you will, and allow your body to express itself. So you want to go into stages, which you do this NAD, you know, it's kind of cleans the junk out, and then you prepare the bed, if you will. And then the next step is that you want to be able to express, you know, the proteins and, you know, the ability for autophagy and gene expression then to take place. It's a natural step that helps the body repair itself. And sometimes because we get overwhelmed with something like an invading protein, like COVID virus, that gets in there and makes us feel crappy. Now, we also have found out that the vaccines, as I've talked about over the last couple programs or so, have a very uncanny ability to activate something called Epstein-Barr virus, or EBV. Years ago, it was called the sleeping sickness virus. And as kids, we heard about mononucleosis. Well, similar situation. And so we want to make sure that we understand that. It's crazy. But anyway, as you go in and you understand those pieces and you understand what's taking place, we got to fix it. There's a way to fix it. There's a way of getting it done. But because that we're so locked into vaccines and so forth, you know, I had one of my listeners just let me know that I forgot to tell you something in the first half of the program, that the story about this Chinese girl that came in, who was carried in by her nanny and her mother and father, and what had happened with the vaccines and so forth. So here's the deal with that little girl. We examined her, and I'm in a place where they do energetic healing, they do Chinese herbs, they do acupuncture, they do things that are just, in my estimation, are unbelievably miraculous. And Dr. Su Jin Wan, the guy, Dr. Wan was a four-star Chinese general that had the innate ability, the healing capacity to turn people around simply by energy movement and acupuncture and so forth. And he was in the last days of Mao. He was a young doctor. He was the personal physician of Mao Zedong. And they knew that he wasn't just a typical guy. So they gave him this place that we were at so he could train people internationally. Anyway, getting back to this young girl. This young girl came in and he handed this child, this two-year-old, this beautiful little girl that was not able to suckle, her eyes wouldn't make contact. And a very dear friend of mine, Dr. Evan Mladenov out of Kansas, we sat there with the parents and we looked at this baby and we, you know, we're going through the, and I finally gave Dr. Mladenov all the records and I said, this is not okay. And remember I said she fell and she hurt herself and that's, and exacerbated the problem. Well, the upper part of the neck controls balance, controls the ability to suckle, controls all of those pieces. And so with tears in my eyes, and this is little, I took this child in my hands and I began to do some very gentle manipulation. And when I examined her, the upper portion of the neck was way out of position and it was reflexive from two things. One, because of the number of vaccines, the second vertebrae in your neck, the second bone of your neck, goes out of position when there's a huge insult viscerally in the body. And so I adjusted that manually, moved that vertebrae back into position. It literally sounded like somebody took a twig and snapped it. And I left the room. I had tears in my eyes. And the next morning, I see Master Wan and the parents and this child, and everybody's smiling. And they, as they approached me, I'm looking at this little girl, and she's making eye contact. And they asked me, would I look at her again? Well, obviously, I said yes. But here was something that supported my entire years of practice that the body has the capacity to resolve itself if you understand the intertwining mechanisms of what takes place and how the vertebrae, the bones, house, protect the nervous system, and how the nervous system is intimately reflexive of what goes on inside the body and vice versa. And if you normalize things properly, if you use the specific nutrients like we're talking about with NAD and StemTOR, mTOR is what it's called, and Lucitol and so forth, that you can get the body at a place where this beautiful mechanism that we call us can survive, that we go into cellular response and survival, and the life force within the system that was given to us by our creator now can express itself at a very, very high level. You know, so getting back to mTOR as we're going back, mTOR integrates input from all types of pathways. We call it upstream pathways. That's your nervous system. And we talked about, you know, the different hormones that it affects. Well, insulin, because it reproduces its own cellular expression. mTOR also serves as a cell nutrient regulator, increasing oxygenation and energy levels. We talked about ATP, adenosine triphosphate, and there's ways of testing that. So when we're treating somebody and we're upregulating the system, if we did nothing more than this, it would be amazing in its effect and its expression of health. We're up to a place where we got to take a break for a minute or two. Don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizzo Live. I'll be right back.
News Talk 105.9.
WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rizzo. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizzo Live, as you do every Sunday at high noon on the Eastern Seaboard. Those of you across the country and that listen to us on a regular basis, thank you, number one. And you know the drill, you know what time it is. And, you know, tell your friends about it. And as always, thank you so very much to our men and women in service who allow us to express our positions regardless of who agrees or doesn't agree with them. But if it wasn't for you, we couldn't be us. Thank you. And anything that I can do for you on an ongoing basis, all you got to do is reach out. You can find me by simply going to drtomrizzo.com and I'll respond to you. I promise you I'll get back to you and I'll get back to you with the right. And that goes for all of us. You know, if you want to talk to me, if you have information that you want to share with me, which is cool, you know, because I'll check it out. Just let me know. We'll get it done. And some of my patients were asking me the other day, what are you doing to fill up your time these days? Because I haven't been in the office full time now for probably the last 18 months, 2 years. And because of the things that we've talked about, and I've been, you know, I haven't stopped. I'm on the road. I'm teaching, hobbling around with a couple canes, but that'll be gone hopefully in about 4 or 5 months. And I'll be back being the more obnoxious me as I possibly can. Talked about something that's really important, and it's the repair of the system, how the body actually begins to put itself back in. And we talked about NAD, and we talked about Lucitol and how that works in the system. We talked a little bit about mTOR. These things are important, and there's a lot of experimentation that has been done worldwide on these things, and through aging, by the way, and cancer therapies and the like. Here's the deal. This is my opinion at this point. So you got to, you know, take that, and those of you who will disagree with me, and that's cool. I'd love to have that conversation with you. When you're dealing with, you know, things like neurological disorders like autism and Alzheimer's. So let's take, you know, Alzheimer's, right? Because everybody's scared of getting older and losing their minds and forgetting their keys in the refrigerator and not knowing what we did with it. And I don't mean to be light about that. It's a significant bad disease process. And we're, you know, as we know more about, you know, Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease, and we're calling it a type 3 diabetes. And there's a lot of things that we are starting to know about experimentally that we've also known about for years clinically, I mean, observing. So mTOR, what happens, you know, we talked about that repair process, the gene expression, you know, with Alzheimer's, there's been multiple studies that shows that, the depletion of it has a very significant impact, a contributor, if you will, to disease progression in a lot of these neurological situations. And the signaling hyperactivity, if it's too high as well, can cause the Alzheimer's disease. So there's a critical balance. There's an ongoing teeter-totter effect that you have to be aware of. So remember I said earlier that you can take two sides of any story. You can look at one piece of it and say, well, that's true. And somebody else takes the other piece of it and say, well, think about this. So you have to apply things judiciously. You know, when I teach doctors, I said sometimes less is better, but you have to make sure that you understand what the mechanisms are and how you do this. You don't have to have double-blind studies. You just have to understand the physiology. I met with a doctor in my office, a physician who I have a tremendous amount of respect for, and I was getting into my normal trek about, you know, this goes to this, and it's basic, and I said basic, you know, biochemistry, basic physiology 101 that we all learn in our first couple years of doctor school and so forth. And he starts laughing. And I said, what are you laughing at? And he said, you. I said, why? He said, because. He said, you realize that very few people in my world, meaning allopathic medicine, know what you're talking about? I said, this is basic stuff. He said, yeah, I know. He said, but what they're looking is to put symptoms out. They're really not there to understand the process and to be able to intervene in different steps along the way. I said, how can you serve people if you don't understand the step in patterns? How can you serve people when you don't understand the biochemical pieces that are there? Instead of just going to the endpoint and suppressing an expression or enhancing an expression by overwhelming the system. For me, call me silly, but it doesn't make sense to me. What makes sense to me is asking questions of why is that? How come it takes place? And anybody that I touch, the guys at the Roselle Center for Healing, Core Concepts Chiropractic in the Broadlands, the other people that we have the ability to touch and talk to, we all look at it that way, because if they're dealing with me, I'm going to force it. But nevertheless, we have to ask those questions. Remember, I do this program on an ongoing basis for one reason, to provoke you, but more importantly, more than anything else, because I love you. See you next week. Take care. Have a great weekend. Bye.